Hello, I am Sarah.
And I'm Pam. And together we are
Dos Ticas in Design. We are friends, fangirls, and fellow designers.
We have conversations about design and how it affects our everyday life.
And we want to let you peek into our world.
So let's get to it.
So welcome to today's episode. Today is a special episode because we, Pam and I, are actually in the same room today. So there's not gonna be any like awkward lagging or anything. If there's a pause, it's actually an awkward pause, not Zoom lagging this time.
That's gonna be.
And today we're gonna continue the topic. We've been talking a lot about creativity and different aspects of creativity. I think we talked mostly about blocks and ways to get over them. But today we wanna talk about creative process. And it's an interesting topic because I think the both of us are not sure how this is going to go. So we're just going to start talking and see where it goes.
So do you feel like you already know or understand your own creative process?
I think I know of things that like help me start the creative process. Like, I definitely have something that I follow that helps me for different type of projects. You know, if it's a specific project, the more specific the project is, the more I know like what the process is kind of supposed to be and what I can follow and do. But yeah, like I feel like it depends a lot on the type of project, from project to project. Like when I think about creative process, I mostly think about web design projects or branding projects that I need to do. And they do have a process for sure. For example, if I'm gonna start a branding project, I start by sending my client a form and I ask them specific questions and I ask them if possible to like do a Pinterest board or at least to send me images that they wanna use as inspiration. And then I can start my part of the process because of the, through the images and through the keywords that they've sent me. And that helps me start my own process, which is one of like exploring, trying out, doodling. But yeah, like I also wonder like if creative process means the same thing for everyone though.
Yeah, that is an interesting question because I think when you start, like when you get your input from your customers, like the mood boards and everything, and then you start working on your part of it, you know, do you feel like you have a picture in your head of what it's going to look like already?
I often do. Especially when they send me, once they send me like images that they want to use as inspiration, I usually have an idea in my head. I try to sketch out that idea in like a few different ways, just in a sketchbook. I don't like showing those sketches to like the client or anything like that because I don't want them to have an idea of what I'm going to create before I create it. And then I try to like replicate that on Illustrator and send that to them. So I feel like usually, and that's usually what sometimes can be a bit troublesome is that I have this idea from the very beginning and that's what I'm working towards. And when I achieve that idea and I show it to the client and it's not what the client wants, that's been like hard for me because I'm like, oh, are you sure? Luckily, that doesn't happen too often. Most of the times the client pretty much is what they want as well. But sometimes they have just like something different in mind and they, it usually happens when the client has a hard time describing what it is that they want, that we have like two different ideas of what the result is like. And then it takes us longer to find what's going to be the final product. But I feel like most of the times, yeah, like I managed to create something pretty close to what I first envisioned, and then it's only like a couple tweaks here and there, and it's kind of what's supposed to be in the end.
Yeah, I can relate to that. My experience with creative process has been mostly for not client projects, but for, it might be because I do lettering and that's a little specific, and people usually have seen what I do. So I don't feel like there's that many like possibilities of getting like, you know, they wanting something different than what I'm going to give them. But when I'm doing, when I'm creating or designing a product or something that hasn't really, you know, like it's not commission work or anything. So when I do that, I have encountered a lot of blocks, but then that's when I have sort of identified a process, maybe. I can't say that's my process, but usually I get like a peek of something. It's not really like a whole vision of it. And that usually kind of sparks me like into work and I start sketching. And then if I can work with my hands, it's even better. Like sometimes if I don't, if I go straight to my iPad or something, sometimes I can actually stop my process. And it's hard because it's usually something that I want to create to sell or as a gift or just an idea that I have. And because there's not a deadline or it's not for somebody else, that can be hard. That can sort of stump my process. But I have, there have been a couple of times where that actually works really well and I go into like flow and time just passes by and I'm like, oh, I made it. I overcame that block. And so I've noticed that if I can work with my hands, if I have like an idea of what I want, it doesn't have to be like an exact vision, but an idea, I can usually just get through it. But I usually have to be excited.
See, I think that's very interesting because I was telling you earlier, not in the podcast, that this weekend I did a lot of creative things. I was working on postcards for my clients, and then I got so inspired that I'm like, I knew my mom has been wanting to like do a postcard for the family to send up for Christmas. And so I like, hey mom, I have these ideas, what should we do? And then I did some labels for some products that my husband is creating some homemade products that we're gonna give for Christmas to family. And so I was so inspired. Like in that same day, I went like sat down and like got the labels done like in one, like without drawing it or anything first, like just like straight up on Illustrator, just working on it and getting it done. And that doesn't always happen. But I just like woke up feeling it. And it's so hard because it's like that's what kicks off the process, but like what put it there? I don't know.
It's fascinating because I have mentioned the podcast, and I have talked about this before, the Creative Pep Talk podcast. I haven't listened to it in a while, but there was an episode that really stood out to me where he talks about studying your triggers, that whatever you do, like habits or practices that trigger your creativity, or just things that you do that allow you to get into that state of flow. Like there are things that you can do, you know, like you can meditate. Like there's everything. Some people, like if they have like a good sleep routine, it helps their like creative process. If you eat well, or maybe you need to like take a bath or go for a walk, or and I remember that about a year ago, I made a list of things that I feel sort of like inspire me and make me feel like motivated to work, even if like I get stressed out by the task. That's usually like design work, just because of like my blocks and my imposter syndrome. But I made a list of things to try, just stuff like meditation or essential oils or tea, a specific tea, you know, that you drink and you sit down and like your environment is like, okay, I'm ready to do this. And then sometimes that works, you know,
Or a candle.
a candle, right?
I
Like
love
it's different for
that.
everybody. Some people would be like, oh, I need to like run 2 miles or, you know.
Yeah, not us, but some people, yeah.
Some people do. And it was fascinating. I didn't finish my list, so I should say I'm still on that creative journey where I'm discovering a lot of things about my creativity, style being one of them, but also like what my creative process actually is. I think you need a lot of practice and time and like years to determine what that is. But that is not a bad idea. Like write things that have helped you in the past and experiment, and be diligent about that. And that could help you actually determine what your process is. So it doesn't have to be that isolated, because that is very discouraging. Like you just said, like I worked so well for like the whole afternoon, but that doesn't happen every day, you know.
And I think like there's two different ways of working on creative projects. Sometimes you have to, and you don't have a choice. Like with a client project, like I can't wait. Feel like, oh, am I feeling up to it? Like, no, like we have a deadline, we have to finish it.
Sorry, Mr. Client, I am not
And
in the creative
so
mood.
that's when like having like something like that in place can help.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's days that are just like inspired, I feel like. And maybe it's just because like we had a good dream, I don't know. Or like we had like something that was particularly tasty or something like that. And then I feel like when you have those days, you just gotta make like the best out of it. But you also have to like not just wait for those days.
Mm-hmm.
Because you need to be able to work when you need to work. Something I've heard about a lot lately is also tracking your work and how you feel about working and creativity according to your cycle, to your menstrual cycle.
That's interesting.
Yes, I've heard a lot about using that, especially when you do like DAP day kind of projects where you have to like set a date, because then if you have a regular cycle, which is a whole other conversation, if you have a regular cycle and you know how it's gonna be, and you know what days like you're gonna have more energy, you know what days you're gonna be low energy, then you can actually schedule your projects using that, which is something that I want to get better at. But I have like an irregular cycle.
Mm-hmm.
Like my cycle is longer than most cycles, but it's regularly longer.
Mm-hmm.
But then like every 3 months it switches up again.
Mm-hmm.
So
welcome to your body.
So I'm really hoping to still like be able to like find the pattern and be able to schedule my work around that, because it would help so much.
Mm-hmm.
My biggest nightmare is to have like one of those like big intense VIP days on like my strongest period day. That would be like the worst thing ever. But I can see how that could also help the creative process as well.
For sure. I mean, for anything, not only your creative process, so anything just, that requires your energy.
Oh yeah. But that's why it's part of it. So just like throwing that in out there, like for people who have cycles, so that they can also, it's also something that you can take in account if your body wants to cooperate.
Yeah, I feel like sometimes we think that it shouldn't matter, like it shouldn't affect us that much. But I mean, I've been living like this for many years. I should probably know better. But that's good. If you can, sometimes you can't, you know, but if you can plan around that, it's not a bad idea. And it could actually like help you lessen, you know, like just the challenges that you might face. And another thing is, it's not the same for everybody. I also think that I love listening to podcasts and conversations like this one, like people talking about what helps them and what doesn't, or what has helped them in the past or what works for them. But it's also important to remember that we are not all the same and we have different personalities. So I think it's, you know, it's about experimenting and sort of knowing yourself. It doesn't have to be like everybody else, you know.
Like there is no right way, there is no wrong way, there's just a lot of different ways and you can try out and see what works for you best.
And you have to know yourself too, like maybe, I don't know, going on a walk works for everybody, but maybe your mental health is different, or your physical activity, your routine is also different, or where you live you can't go on a walk, you know, like, or maybe it's like freezing outside so you can't do that. But I think you have to be willing to experiment, and you have to be a little less skeptical, because I feel like we're sometimes you hear something, you're like, yeah, that's too easy, that's not going to make a difference. I promise, like, just freaking try it. It might actually make a difference. And something that I have noticed just in the past month that's really been helpful to overcome, I mean, this helps the creative process, but to me it helps me overcome, like, sometimes I get like this creative anxiety and I feel like I'm never going to be able to make anything that I'm satisfied by. Kind of just look around. If you go for a walk or go out in nature, or even like around your house or whatever, like paying attention to things can be very inspiring. And I know this sounds a little too easy or cliche, but it does. It works. I've been actually, you know how I have struggles with color?
Yes.
Palettes. It's a struggle, guys out there who are listening. I have a hard time with that. And I've lately been taking pictures, and this is why I need like a better camera, but of color palettes that I find out there. And I'm like, ooh, I'm going to try this out and just try combinations of these colors that I found that look so pretty. And I feel like I have never paid attention to the outside world as I do now. And I feel dumb because I'm 33 years old and it's like, how long has it taken me? But I think that can help you. That can help you look around and kind of get out of your own head and make that process more like, I don't know what the word is, like make it flow, you know, sort of like let go and let it happen.
Random input, just in case you didn't know, there's actually apps where you can then like upload a photo that you take and it generates like different palettes based on the photo.
Ooh, I need one of those.
Because that can give
Nice.
you a lot of ideas, just saying. But back to the topic, something that I also think would be interesting to navigate is that I've heard people saying things like, I'm not creative or I'm not visual, but they sometimes need to work on creative things. And they're like, how do I do that? Because I don't know, like, I'm not creative. Like, how do I get in that creative mood? And I feel like a lot of people who say, I'm not a creative person, don't realize that a lot of things that are kind of mundane are also creative. I used to have someone that would used to say very often that he wasn't creative at all. And I'm like, but you bake. And you like experimenting, like, what if I add a bit more vanilla? And what if I, and like, that's creativity.
Oh, it is.
And they never saw it that way because they work like in engineering and like it's definitely not something that sounds like a creative field, but they in what they work and everything. I'm like, that doesn't mean that you're not creative. There's so many ways to be creative. And so I was once teaching I think it was a little webinar about helping people create their brand, like just like start their own brand and like how to like choose colors and fonts and things like that. And I had a person asking that, like, I am not a creative person, like that's what I struggle with. And so I tried to give people ideas of how to get in touch with themselves so that they can like dive into that creativity. Like specifically in this process of like creating your brand. And so I was I give people like options, like, okay, you need to create a mood board. You need to create like an inspiration board that has like images and colors and fonts. And some people are totally like, oh yeah, I have one on Pinterest, or like they already have been planning it since forever. Or some people are like, well, I don't really like Pinterest, but I can put a Google folder together and find photos. I'm like, yeah, let's do that. Like, you can just like open a Google folder and just like any screen take screenshots of things and put them in one place and just like browse through the websites with that in mind. And then I tell people that if they really want to like get in touch with all of it, I'm like, print out those photos. And then like cut them yourself and create a collage. Just like you did back in kindergarten. I feel like it feels like a kindergarten activity. But sometimes just the fact that we're disconnecting from the screen and we're like actually using our hands to manually get into something, like we're gonna be cutting and we're gonna be putting the images together and putting them on a board and having to like rearrange and move things around. It just like moves certain parts of our brain different, and it helps us dive more into the process of it. And it while we're working on things, it might even spark ideas that might not even be related to like that, but it might tell something like, you know, like for the brand, I also want to like add this to it. I think this will be a very good idea to have this keyword or something for my mission statement. I don't know. There's a lot of different things that I feel like get triggered in our brain because of the manual work that we put into it. But I also tell people like, but it's not for everyone. Like, there's so many different ways to do it. Like I said, like Pinterest board, do it by hand. Or if you really, really just don't want to do the process, but like you have to be like, okay, open a folder, add the images, and then just send them to me and I'll take care of the rest. But like we all can get involved to a certain degree.
And I do believe it's something I've been meaning to letter for a while and make a t-shirt out of. Oh, that's my next mug. Creativity is for everybody. I think I heard that on one of the talks at Adobe Max, which was amazing. Oh, and that brings on another thing to mind. It's a couple of things that work for me are listening to either podcasts and conversations similar to these, or just like a TED talk or something that, you know, I'm not always in the mood for motivational stuff. I'm not, but sometimes they just hit right where I need it. And they just make me feel like, I don't know if the word is empowered or just able, like, no, I can do this. I can, there's no reason to believe that I can't, because sometimes that's what holds me back. And so that happened. I was listening to a couple of talks at Dolby Max about 2 weeks ago, which was virtual and free. And it was amazing. And one was, I can't remember the name of the book. Now I want to get it. Oh, the book is called You Are Here for Now or something. And it's about like creativity and your passion or something. I don't even remember. But the talk was about something like the book. And I cried like 3 times. But after that, I felt like, oh no, I can do this. And I was started sketching, you know? Like sometimes that really works for me. And I think another thing that is important is to be patient, you know, and kind of let go of expectations. I know it's different when you're working for a client because they have their expectations, but kind of let go of expectations, you know, like you have an idea, but sometimes we hold on to that idea. Imagine it's not client work. You hold on to that idea, and if it doesn't turn out that way, you sort of like stop working on it or don't follow through or get frustrated. Whereas if you kind of just follow and see where it goes, it might actually become something, you know? And this can happen in any field. I don't think it's only related to like, you know, visual arts or like design or stuff like that. But if you are patient, sometimes I get really frustrated and let go of a project for a couple of weeks. And then I come back to it like with a new energy. And before I used to just let go of it forever and be like, I give up, I'm not going to do this. But now I sort of like just stand back for a while and try to be a little bit more patient. And eventually I am able to like follow through. But, you know, that's something that I think could work, you know, because we mentioned that the process is not the same for everybody.
No, and I think to kind of wrap up this episode, well, you've given some recommendations already, but like we can give like some, like just like some more ideas, because I do think, especially when we're working on projects for ourselves, that there are certain activities that get us in like that mindset. So you mentioned like podcasts and you mentioned TED Talks. I wanna add to that. I do a lot of sometimes Pinterest or Tumblr browsing, like to specific tags. For example, I actually did do that when I was doing these labels that I mentioned that I did over the weekend. I went on Pinterest to look just at labels. I don't want to say what the product is because some of the people that get this might listen to this podcast. I don't know.
Yeah,
maybe
no.
One of them might. My sister might listen to the podcast. I don't know. And she's getting one of these. So I don't want to say what it is.
We'll find out now.
But I put the name of the product and then I put like label design. And I was just looking at ideas because I wanted to make them... I wanted to make them special. Like I didn't want it to just like be like a simple label with a name on that. Like I just wanted to like add more details. I'm like, let's look at some ideas of what kind of details it could be. And I love that. Another thing, something we're talking also about yesterday, is like, I watch a lot of random Netflix TV shows about architecture, traveling, design, even food sometimes. But I love those shows because they actually do to me what TED Talk sometimes does to me. I feel very inspired afterwards. For example, I like watching this, I think like the most amazing homes in the world or something like that, and they go to like these architectural like masterpieces, and I feel so inspired by it afterwards. So that's a way for me to inspire myself, watching those type of shows. And I also agree with podcasts. We both are big fans of the Honest Designer show.
That's one of the best podcasts out there. That has been very inspiring to me whenever I'm like on a slump.
I've been
something.
Listening to them for years because they're still recording years after. So yeah. They've been great. And yeah, I just feel like
they're honest.
Yourself.
They're honest.
surrounding yourself with those kinds of TV shows, podcasts, TED Talks, like YouTubers, that make you want to be creative, that will help you. You have to be careful to balance it out to not make you feel like miserable, like, man, all these amazing people doing all these amazing things and I'm not getting anywhere. But like balance yourself out by like looking for things that actually inspire you.
I also have learned that you have to, something else in mind and I forgot, as it always happens, but you have to show up, you know, sort of like show up for it. Otherwise, it's never gonna happen. Or if you have a block, you're never gonna get over it. Or you're never gonna discover what your process is or finish your design or your product or whatever it is you're making. And it does help to discover your process to find other creative outlets, but that's a little bit of next episode, right? But that's another thing, you know. So I don't know. I think it's cool if you listen to other podcasts or conversations about this topic, you'll find that everybody has something similar, but at the same time, something different to say about it. Everybody has a different experience, different recommendations, and I think I try as many things as I can. You know yourself, but when I hear people saying things like, "Oh, this podcast," or "I took a bath," or "I, you know, I go on a walk," or "I try,"
Oh, I play with dogs for 30 minutes.
it's something like that. Yeah, cuddle with your cat. I don't know. Like stuff like this could work. Could be part of your process. And some people are people of like creatures of rituals, like, you know, like wake up at a certain time, do my workout, or drink some tea, or read, or something, or meditate before I start working. Like those sort of things could help. And it has taken me a while to discover them for myself, but it's also a good recommendation, I think.
Journaling.
You
Oh, I didn't
have,
mention
are you kidding me?
journaling.
Oh, we haven't. That's surprising.
Yeah, of
Journaling.
course.
I journal a lot about my processes.
Do you think people listen to this podcast to inspire themselves?
Maybe, who knows?
Maybe one day.
Maybe one day, that's what I wanted to say.
All right. I think this is a good spot to wrap up. Like Pam said, we're gonna continue talking a bit more next time about some other things related to creativity. And so it's gonna be fun. Looking forward to that episode. Pam, today you've got a recommendation. What you got for us?
Yes. I was visiting Moab in southern Utah, and at one of the visitor centers, I discovered an artist. Her name is Julia Buckwalter, I think, and her Instagram account is Red Dirt Painter, REDDIRT Painter, and I love it. You know, I have fallen in love with like the desert and just like the scenery and the, you know, landscapes and everything, the colors, talking about the color palettes. But she has really beautiful work that is very inspiring, and I thought it would be a good recommendation for today.
I think so
So,
too.
I
For
say you should
anyone
follow
not
it.
familiar with Utah, all of southern Utah, or at least most of southern Utah, is red desert, and so like the earth is red. So her username, Red Dirt Painter, that's what it is. Really is like very niche specific. She definitely specializes in art inspired by southern Utah. It looks pretty great. So.
It is pretty great. She's been Moab artist in the parks, which I'm not sure what it is, but so I could see like she had a lot of like art, really, you know, like from just different places in Moab. And I used to think the desert was boring, but it's not. It's just like really, there's a lot going on. It's beautiful, and there are so many colors happening.
No, I'd love to
So
like live in Moab for like 6 months and really just
I
like soak in the culture of
know.
like southern Utah.
It's so
But it's
pretty.
expensive because it's so
Very,
touristy.
very expensive. And also, like, I love just going out and looking at Red Rock, right? First thing in the morning. But just, you know, as a side note, most of the parks out there are dark sky parks. So you could do stargazing, just saying, very cool. Anyway, that's my recommendation for this episode.
Sounds great. I have to go to Moab. I drove through Moab 2 years ago. That was the last time. And really, just like driving through is already beautiful.
Isn't
Ustad
it?
Targa Station.
Isn't it?
It is very pretty. It's very different. And yeah, I really would love to like live there for a couple months and soak in the culture.
That's what I thought. I
Do
was
like
like,
everyday yoga and
I
design and
know.
connect with all these people. There's a lot of like nomadic people there who just like stay there for a season or so. I think it'd be interesting.
I know. That's what I thought. I thought this is so pretty. I'm glad I visited, but I could live here for a little bit. Like, it's so nice.
So now it's what we're up to. So I'm gonna start. I have guests in my house, and it's Pam and her sister actually. So it's been fun to have them over. We got to do some recordings for the intro and outro that you're gonna listen to. Well, you just listened to the intro when you started the episode. Now you're gonna listen to the outro. They're pretty standard. There's no lag anymore, so we're probably gonna continue using those for the rest of
I'm
our
so
episodes.
excited.
Finally. Other than that, what we've been up to. I don't know. October was like a lot of errands to run, a lot of things to do. You probably, if you follow our podcast live, you notice like our schedule is very out of place because it's been a busy month for both of us. Pam's been traveling. I have not been traveling as much, but I've just had like a lot of things happen. Like one day travels I had to do for like official reasons and IDs and things like that are like no fun. So it's like no exciting story to tell, but I have a passport now, so that's good. And well, we were on social media break. We've started it back up. We're not completely a lot on social media anymore, but if you write us through social media, we will see it eventually. I think I'm gonna assign like one day a week to go check on things on social media because right now I'm really like just not in the vibe of social media. I'm doing really well without it. And we're working on our end of the year deals and offers and specials. We're launching a lot of fun stuff. We're launching the Stargaze scholarship at the end of this month. So stay tuned because it's going to be a great resource for small businesses that need design help but might not be able to pay for high-end design. That scholarship will hopefully be able to provide help with that. We're gonna be launching. We're gonna be launching another thing that's still a surprise. So stay tuned for that surprise. And we're gonna have special deals, and we're having a couple of collaborations coming up. So yeah, there's a lot of things going on. So I'm not a ton on social media, but that's where you're gonna listen about them. So go follow us on Instagram at stargaze.studio, and you'll know what's happening. And yeah, I think that's mostly what I'm up to. What are you up to, Pam?
So a bunch of things. I am still in Utah, so I'm traveling and still working, visiting family. The desert was lovely. I'm still on my social media break. It has already been over a month. I am coming back very soon because I need to. It's been really nice not to be like I'm on my personal account, which is fine, but not feeling the pressure of creating content has been really nice, but I'm trying to fix my relationship with social media. So I should be coming back soon. That is Instagram. My Instagram handle is at the lettering spot, and I am like hesitant to come back, but I am sort of anxious to like, start sort of lettering again for social media and just be excited about it again as I haven't been in a while. So I've been working on that and relaxing and just looking at colors outside and thinking of a bunch of ideas as I usually do and just working on another business that I have, but still kind of brewing projects and stuff. And that's it. I am going to travel back home in about a month less
Yeah.
on December 5th. And yeah, that's all I got to say for now.
That's exciting. You've done a lot of traveling this year.
It's been a lot of fun.
Do you have any trips planned for next week? I mean, next year?
I
Next week. You do actually have one for next
actually
week.
do have. for next year, I do. But
okay.
I've been trying to tell myself not to travel for at least 6 months because okay. I sort of have to come back from all this. Mm-hmm. But I do want to go back to Mexico next year.
Okay.
But maybe like at the end of the year. I don't know. For now, I'm not thinking about traveling next year so much because I'm living the moment. But maybe, I don't know. It's hard to not go if you have a chance, you know, especially Mexico.
Yeah. Oh, well.
All right.
I think that's all we have for today. Thanks for joining our conversation today.
You can follow us on Instagram at @2ticasindesign with the number 2 or on Facebook under the same name. We'd love to hear your take on this, so make sure to leave us a comment on today's episode.
If you like this podcast and you want to hear more, you can subscribe to receive the latest episodes through most platforms, including Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify.
We'd appreciate your rating and reviews. The feedback you provide will help us create more awesome content for you.
See you on the internet.
Bye.